we're really good at pulling it out of
our butt
places.
Yeah. No, it's coming out of the butt. We can say that. It's fine. Putting down the needle. Hang on. We're gonna stick the needle in the proper place and not on top of my computer. Beep. Okay. That's in the tomato. Now we're good.
You know, Potters, you may want to try and experiment with this, because I always come up with weird ideas. I have to go and oil my exhaust fans in the attic because they scream like Chewbacca when they're on. You'll be sitting there lying back in bed and all of a sudden you hear, and as you're sitting there going, oh, that's the fans again.
Okay, I hate to disappoint you. That's not what
I know. That's not a look. I know that. I can't do the sound.
Let's talk about Bob Ross and some happy clouds and happy trees.
He does call them happy trees. So you will have Bob Ross forever, as much of it as you want, on Twitch.
It's so crazy to think about. It's just a dude painting.
Generation.
Yo, it's an industry secret, bro. Like, you just gotta put some time in, you know, figure it out. You just gotta, you know, you gotta pay your dues, man. It's, people aren't gonna give stuff to you. Like, get bent.
it really, really, especially if you have to bring that and like your Draugr armor with you, because of course you're gonna bring your Draugr armor with you.
Of course.
Yeah, you gotta accommodate for your Claptrap puppet and your Skyrim armor.
Have you tried out any Texas food yet? I will today. Yesterday was kind of like we did a family style kind of food at one of the cafes, but it's been really good, so I'm going to try more today.
That's basically what you do in Texas. You come here to shop and eat.
Pretty much what I want to do anyway, so all the time.
It is our correspondents, Bailey, Catherine, and Katie. Say hi, ladies.
Hi, ladies.
But I was in cosplay, and I always feel like I'm incognito, like in disguise, and nobody in cosplay ever talks to me when I'm not in cosplay, so.
Just like, I can't go back to normal wear. I don't
understand
this.
And yeah, you're like sitting there in your really comfortable normal clothes, you're like, I am too comfortable right now. I should be really, my feet should hurt, my head should be squeezed, I should be way hotter than I am, like, so I would have killed for a wig, because at least it would have kept me warm.
Time to Google. Hang on, we gotta look now. I'm curious. CosplaySupplies.com.
The bubble wrap.
We need to make this part of our halftime show, or I think of like prizes, like Fudge doing the restaurant cards. Let's just buy a bunch of bubble wrap.
I'm terrible.
You are terrible, but I love this idea. The dress can go fudge its fudging self. I am so sick and tired of the damn dress. Oh my god. It needs to get off my social media immediately. I love crap home. We need to start getting that started. My English is great. Good grammar. Go Val.
It's like saying we're fixing to do something.
We're fixing to do something. Things will be made. Stuff will happen.
There will be an explosion magically at the end of that tutorial, even though there wasn't actually one. Well, Michael Bay it up.
Oh. Okay, if there's one thing, I dislike Michael Bay immensely as a director, but I do think he makes fantastic explosions. Am I allowed to Michael Bay this up?
You're the editor.
Sweet. As long as I love how I have final say on it.
As long as it's tasteful. My name is on it, so, you know.
It's Michael Bay. He does not do tasteful explosions.
Well, I feel like I railroaded the whole thing and said four words, so I apologize to your normal listeners who probably want to hear you guys talk completely monopolizing the entire thing.
Oh, we do that every 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly, so it's fine.
Hey Potters, welcome to episode 106 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay, and let me start out by wishing everyone a happy new year.
Yay.
Hooray, 2016.
Woo.
We made it.
Woo.
Briefly, I do want to apologize for not being here last episode. Unfortunately, my grandfather had a heart attack and my house sale fell through within days of each other, so I couldn't be here for obvious reasons. But I do want to thank everyone who sent well wishes for my grandfather. He is now out of the hospital. He is fine, at least as fine as somebody of his age can be. And we are very happy that we had him around for Christmas. So thank you to everybody who was sending well wishes for that. If you notice that I sound a little stuffy and that I am sipping on juice during the episode, it's because I am sick. Because, of course, you have to start out the new year by getting sick. No, I did not party for New Year's, so this has nothing to do with hangovers. I just have a very, very sore throat. So, you know, if you see me sipping juice, it's not because I'm being disrespectful. It's because I'm trying to keep my throat hydrated. But I wasn't here last episode. I wanted to really be here this episode for you guys. So I'm going to power my way through this. So bear with me, please, and thank you.
I was sucking down water pretty much all of last episode since I was talking well beyond my normal allotment, so I think you're fine. Plus, I do coffee every time, so meh. Drink, sisters.
Yes. All right. So let's go ahead. We're going to start with our cosplay updates. I actually have stuff.
Yay! Amber has stuff and things.
Let's start with how I rang in the new year.
Can I put the digital stuff on the screen for this one?
Yes, you can put the digital stuff on the screen for this one.
Cool.
So I rang in the new year very literally yesterday with my smoke alarm, as Amber is wont to do, because I have figured out in the during unpacking, during the mess that is unpacking my apartment.
Right.
But I own a small hardware store's worth of stuff. I own a small fabric store's worth of stuff too. And because my apartment is literally less than half the size of my house, I had to downsize quite a bit, which means I don't have as much space to put an equal amount of stuff. And as we all know as cosplayers, you can never have too much stuff. We are all pack rats. We keep it all because God knows we're going to use it at some point. So I had a lot of stuff that I had to put up. And so I went out and bought some more pegboard, because I love pegboard. Pegboard, you only have to put in a couple of nails or a couple of screws, and that's all you do to your wall. Everything else just hangs on the pegboard. No mess, no fuss. I love it. So I bought my pegboard. And one of the pegboards was slightly too long. I needed to cut off about 6 inches worth. And so I asked them in the store, and I was like, okay, what do I use to cut pegboard? Because I don't have a circular saw, I don't have a table saw, and I don't have a jigsaw. I said, okay, well, you can just use a good knife and score it a few times and then break it off, just like you would drywall. Well, if anybody's tried to cut pegboard, even with a really good scoring knife, it doesn't work very well. Pegboard is compressed paper, for those who don't know, but it's very hard compressed paper. You don't get to break it off. So, of course, what does Amber do? Amber pulls out her handy-dandy Dremel. And I put on my cutting wheel, because I have one. And I proceeded to cut through the pegboard. Works quite well. You know, nothing wrong. It cuts pegboard. Takes a little bit longer, because pegboard is, again, hard. But it worked. And then I saw it start smoking. I went, oh, lovely. Okay, then. So I powered through it. And I did it in segments, and I did open my door in between segments so that I could ventilate because I saw that there was smoke. And I was like, okay. My smoke alarm was actually at the other end of the apartment from me. But as soon as I finished cutting the pegboard, my smoke alarm went off. Yeah. So I stood right next to the smoke alarm with one of my little hand fans. I fanned the alarm because I wanted to get the smoky air away from it so it would stop setting the sensor off. So my neighbors wouldn't come running and see what happened and see my stupidity. And then I pulled the pegboard apart and there were char marks all the way down both ends of the pegboard. It's like, oh, yeah, it really did burn, didn't it? It was because of the heat, the friction produced as I was cutting it, that it effectively charred it. So there you go, Alan. I did it again. I didn't drill holes in it this time to break it off, but I was very tempted to. But I still ended up burning it and breaking it off. So, you know, there you go. I have rung in the new year with fire. Almost fire. It didn't actually light on fire, thank God.
Yeah, good job.
I have my pegboards up now. They're actually, I have them leaning up against the wall. I didn't actually hang them because I have my suspicions on how much weight these walls can hold. So they're on the floor, they're propped up, and they're secured to the walls. All my hardware is put up finally. You guys can actually see in the mirror behind me those paper boxes. Those are all my fabric bits on my shelving unit. I do have to finish going through my fabric bits because I didn't realize that I had more scrap fabric than I thought I did. So I've actually run out of room for my scrap fabric. And you don't see the pile that is on my end table, but there's a pile on the end table in the living room of all of my patterns. And those are enough for a paper box by themselves. Because I keep all the patterns, whether they're poster board or muslin, I keep all my stuff because I do end up reusing them. So I have to go through those. And once I have gone through those and actually cleared a walkway through most of my apartment, which I am making good progress towards, then I'm actually going to start on Order of the Lotus Irelia for Alcon. And I'm going to start with the props first. Mostly because I am working on losing weight. And I want to get closer to my target weight before I start draping patterns. Because that way it fits me a little bit better. Plus, there's always the nice idea that the fabrics I'm looking at will actually go on sale, which would be absolutely lovely since the sale of my house has actually fallen through two more times since the last time. So I could use some good luck right now. So please put my fabrics on sale. And until then, I will obviously be drafting patterns. So I will be starting on that hopefully within the next week. So yay, that has been my cosplay update. Happy New Year, everybody. Have some smoke.
You're burning stuff. That's fine. It's normal for you.
My smoke alarm is in good working order. Thank you very much.
Yeah, see, that's always a good sign. You move to a new apartment, got to make sure all the stuff is working, and now you know the smoke alarm works.
In fact, I set it off twice that night. Because when I used my oven for the first time, it smoked too.
Sweet. You're doing good. Way
to
go, kid.
Great.
Good job, kid. Good job.
I appreciate that. I'm doing it right, man. Every day. Your turn.
Okay, so I guess for my cosplay updates, since last time you saw me, everybody saw me, well, those who watched the episode, as I was working on one of my costumes, I ended up trashing it. Because I wasn't happy with how it was turning out. It was one of those where I made the pattern, I made the mock-up, I made the lining. It all went great. For some reason, in transferring that pattern to my top fabric, it somehow went screwy, and I still don't even know how it happened. It didn't look bad, but it just didn't feel like the right quality that I wanted. So for me, I was getting really disappointed and unhappy with how it was turning out. So I've made the decision to put that aside. I've ordered samples that should be here by Monday, fingers crossed. And I'm going to try and power through this with brand new fabric. I think the fact that I had to cut it a little differently probably altered how I had to sew it, because this is a fairly large dress. Even though it's technically short, it's a large dress. It needs to be like 48 wide minimum. And the fabric I was using was a 43 wide. And because it's velvet and it's pile, you have to sew it in a certain way so that way all the pile matches up. Otherwise, it looks really, really bad. So yeah, I'm starting over on my dress. I made a brand new pattern. This is the mock-up behind me. It sits so much better than the previous version of it. All of the applique I have done, I'm going to do my best to save it. I should be able to transfer the sleeves that I've been working on. And I showed you guys how I made that last time. I'm going to try my best to save it, to transfer it to the new fabric. As long as it's still velvet or if it's suede, I'm hoping that one of those two will work. Fingers crossed. For the love of God, please let that work. I'm going to be so depressed if it doesn't work because that was a lot of applique and a lot of thread. So in the meantime, between doing that, I've been working on all the accessories for this costume. I've cut out all the stuff that I'm going to make out of with Wonderflex. So I've got my craft foam. I got so many craft foam scraps, it's a little ridiculous. But I was able to make all of her accessories out of craft foam. Yay! I'll cover them later. And for those who have been watching my page, whop, I actually finished up her shoes yesterday using Heat and Bond. Bing! There you go. Heat and Bond. Awesome, awesome thing. And this is stretch velvet. Just be amazed by that, too. There is this cool tutorial made by Heidi Atler, Atler Heidi, however you want to say it. We've had her on her show before. She's also featured on our YouTube channel for her leatherworking panels. And she made this really cool tutorial using spandex and heat and bond to kind of make perma shoe covers. So I decided to give it a shot, and it worked out really well. Because the character has these weird, like, faux moccasin flats. So I kind of had to replicate that.
And then there's clogs.
Yeah, kind of. And then there's going to be spats on top of this that connect to the freaking shoe. So it's like, okay, whatever, logic train. Finding moccasins that are even remotely close to this was just not going to happen. And I could probably make my own from scratch, but that would have taken forever. Or I could have taken a pair of moccasins and ripped them up, but that would have been way too expensive. So I got these shoes for $3. Go Amazon. And then the fabric was only $5.99 a yard. Yay! But yeah, the heat and bond trick worked really, really well. I was kind of surprised by that. So if you guys need some perma shoe covers, don't do it on things like boots. This can only be used on like flats or wedges, things that are not meant to bend as you move. Otherwise, if you bend it, the heat and bond's no longer going to hold. So just an FYI. But yeah, totally try that out. That was cool. And then today I'm working on the wig, which I've just completely shredded this morning. I've got 14 wefts that I took out of this sucker, and I'll be replacing them. Her wig is kind of funny. It's like a backwards pompadour. So I'm going to be doing a foam core back here with her braided work and then having to do a bunch of wefts on top of it. That'll be a fun little mess. So yeah, that's my costume progress so far. I'm making progress. It's slow and steady, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
It's all that matters. There is no sleep. There is only cosplay.
There is only cosplay. I was saying to Amber, if I'm not at work or sleeping, I'm pretty much working on this and a commission that I also had to restart this past week. So yeah, it's been a rough puff cap couple of weeks. I'm hoping 2016 is better. So far it is. I made shoes. Yay!
And speaking of starting off 2016 with the bang, we wanted to give special thanks to one of our supporters, one of our longtime supporters, Alan, who very generously gave to the podcast. And I won't give any more detail than that, just for privacy reasons. But we wanted to make sure that on the show we said a very, very huge, appreciative thank you. It was very helpful. Because as you guys know, we self-fund the podcast, and between car troubles and house sales falling through and me having to pay both rent and mortgage now until my house sells, we were really financially hurting.
Yeah.
So, you know, also thank you to those who donated to our GoFundMe.
Yay, thank you, people. That also helped
pay our website expenses, which was very, very helpful to us when we had to actually pay the bills. So thank you once again to those who donated to us. If you guys want to donate to us at any time during the year, you know, every penny goes toward the podcast. The vast majority of donations actually go towards website costs, which it's about $150 for us per year to host the website, to own the domain, and for privacy protection, because I love you all, but I don't want you to know where I live. So pretty much anything that's donated to us goes directly towards paying the website bills at the end of the year. So again, you guys can send it to our PayPal, which is simply our email address, podcast@costpod.org. Or if you wish to donate other ways, you can always give us a contact and we'll do our best to work with you. The GoFundMe has been taken down. So unfortunately, you cannot contribute to that anymore. That one is done. Alrighty. If you guys are watching this live, by the way, you can participate in our 2016 discussion by sending us messages through the Q&A app through Google.
We will read. We will read, I promise. I'm monitoring it thoroughly. Yes.
All right. So let's go ahead. We're going to give you guys a little bit of our 2016 plans, both convention and cosplay. And we're going to start out with conventions, since those tend to be a little bit better defined. We know what conventions we're going to. We don't necessarily know what we're going to wear to them, but we know that we're going.
Yeah, we know we're going. That's the key thing.
So let's go ahead. We will proceed through the calendar, starting with this month, PAX South.
Ding! I'm going. That's what this month is. You know,
I had to drop. I was planning on going to PAX South, and I actually did buy a ticket. I bought a weekend pass. And once the sale of my house fell through, unfortunately, I can't afford it anymore. Because rent plus mortgage is a lot of money. But Val will be there representing us at PAX South and is going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah, I'm already looking forward to it. It was a ton of fun last year. I know some people kind of poo-pooed it because I was like, oh, well, it's not as big as East. Well, duh, it was the first year. They got to get their feet in the wet. They got to get their, you know, they got to get started. It's okay. They had a lot of indie developers, which I'm always a big fan of. I like to see some of the offshoots, not the AAA stuff. So for me, that was kind of cool. And we got so many small studios in Texas that it was the ideal location for them to kind of come out and show their stuff. So I'm excited.
Texas is a massive bed of startups of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So these sorts of venues tend to be really good for them to show off their stuff with a giant crowd that is a little less intrusive. Let's put it that way.
There you go.
And PAX South is at the end of this month. So we've got a little bit of time left, by which I mean a little over 3 weeks.
Don't remind me. I have too much to do.
All right. February. I do not have anything.
Nada. Next.
Although I will mention that the Ruby finale is Valentine's Day weekend.
Oh, so same weekend as when Deadpool is coming out. That's nice. And the
it's
week before
be a
that,
heck of a ride, man.
Week before that, Zoolander 2. So I'm like, I'm planned for my movie setup for the month. It's great.
All right, moving on to March, we have AllCon.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yay!
If you guys have not signed up for the costume contest, signups are already open. You guys can go and sign up on our docs page. We actually have a doc page set up for you guys. You can sign up in advance. That way, you can get all of the registration bits out of the way. You don't have to worry about running and doing it last minute at the con. And we have awesome prizes this year.
We're already starting to corral our prizes, so it's kind of cool. I love our trophies. Oh my goodness, the trophies are so cool.
Yep, and we're still working on getting stuff for the show. Yes, there will be more stuff. We are working on it.
Helps when you have a bigger budget.
Bigger budget, bigger venue, bigger audience. Everything bigger in Texas. So go ahead and sign up. If you are still hesitating a little bit on the fence, you can always email us and we can kind of go through what is involved in the contest for you. It's very low key. There is very little pressure. Everybody is very relaxed, but we also enjoy the cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just we're going to go, you know, walk out there and just blow everything off. No, we're serious about it, but we have a good time while doing it.
I think that really showed from how we handled it last year, too. And we made sure that I think for both of us, a key thing was not have it take all day long for contestants, because that's just not going to fly in our book. We're too busy. You guys are too busy. So
there's a con to enjoy. It's not just the cosplay contest. We
exactly. So I think we probably had the contestants there for 2 hours max, and that was including the contest. It was like 30 minutes before it started, and then the contest, then done. So you can actually enjoy your convention experience, which is very, very important as far as I'm concerned.
And that is pretty much the entirety of March.
Yep.
All con and we collapse.
And for me, between that and job stuff, because I will probably have to work that weekend, unfortunately, so I'm just like, oh my gosh, because we're opening new stores, and I'm like, oh. Val's going to be dead tired. She'll be there, but she'll be dead tired.
Like me last year when I was working overnights.
Yeah. Just bring her coffee and some chocolate and she'll try not to snap at you.
In that order, please.
In that order, please.
All right. April. I do not have anything.
Nada. Moving on.
The only thing that I would potentially have in April, May this year would be Scarborough, which I have not been in many, many years, simply because Scarborough doesn't change. And I've actually already been to all of the shows at Scarborough. There's nothing new to bring me to Scarborough besides the Mermaid Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about going, if the house sells, I'm thinking about returning this year. And just going with friends on a random weekend.
Yeah.
Preferably before it gets hot.
Yeah. For us, it's kind of a little bit closer. And I mean, you could do it in a day and then go back home. So it's not like a terrible thing where you have to camp out overnight. Right. Well, for me, I think that's terrible. But that's
just I was going to say, that's not a terrible thing for me since I do it every year. But
I don't like camping.
You have to do it right. Anyways, so I do not, for that reason, I don't have anything in May either, because April, May would be Scarborough for me.
In May, I may be taking a quick weekend trip to Faname. With my job and the way that they do their vacation days, it's a little funky. I actually have to be working there for over a year before I earn a day. And even then, I'm only getting 3 days. And they're all going towards Dragon Con. So it's kind of like, okay, this is a little wonky. But Faname falls on Memorial Day weekend. So it may be one of those where I fly in like really late Friday night and I stay through till Monday. And since my brother lives in that area, it makes it a little bit cheaper for me. So I may be doing that. We'll just see where the cards lie.
And also May will be frantic Akon prep.
Yeah.
Because Akon is slightly earlier this year. Akon is the very first weekend in June, the 3rd through the 5th.
Mm-hmm. Same weekend as Dallas Comic Con. This will be entertaining.
Yes, unfortunately for both parties.
Yeah.
And it's not because I have a much higher opinion of Akon, but I say that I am sorry because it is genuinely going to hurt the sales of both groups. I mean, regardless of who did what first, it doesn't really matter. There's already fans posting on the fan pages on Facebook going, wait, these are really the same weekend? What am I going to do? Like, I want to attend both, but I may not be able to. And it's really not fun when you as a fan have to choose between good conventions, because it's like picking favorites. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, obviously I'm going to Akon. I have no reason to go to Dallas Comic Con.
I don't either.
So I will be at Akon all weekend.
Yeah, I will be at Akon too. Probably helps that I'm kind of on staff, so I kind of have to be there.
Yeah. Staff.
I'm on staff. I can actually say that now. I'm on staff, so I have to be there. I'm part of their marketing department, so I will be there. Yay! My stint doing the unofficial photo shoots has promoted me to staff member level, so I get to handle all the photo shoot stuff. So yeah, even the photo booths that happen in the convention halls that you have to pay for, I'm in charge of those now.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a lot of extra work, but fun. And I think this year in particular, because we're going to have that Dallas Comic Con quote-unquote rival thing going on, I've noticed that more people have been leaning towards Akon because of the costuming stuff. Because DCC doesn't do a whole lot of costuming, and since a lot of their staff members have left after the last convention, I think we're going to see a huge drop-off, and we're going to pick up at Akon.
Yeah, and it does help that Akon basically promotes the hell out of their cosplay track.
Definitely.
And they also basically put special emphasis on their cosplay guests, on their cosplay panels, their cosplay track. Those get special attention. And I know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I am leaning towards not doing staff at Akon, not because I don't want to. I want to help them. I really do want to help them. At the same time, as torn as I was last year with my services kind of getting spread really thin and then me basically getting called back to work because my coverage fell through, I don't want to have that happen again. I don't want to flake out on them in case, for some reason, work does page me, because there is always that possibility when you work in the IT world. And I also don't want to basically have to forfeit my entire day on Saturday from lunch onward when I could be covering other cosplay panels for our audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of having to choose between staff and press. And for you guys, press kind of wins out.
I promise it's more fun that way.
If I could help them out before the con, doing pre-con stuff, happy to do it.
They're looking.
If there's any way I can help, I can help with programming. I can help with press stuff. I can help coordination with registration, because I've actually run registration for a con before. I can help all sorts of ways, just not physically at the con.
And I'll give you emails.
I'll be helping with guidebook as well. Starts coming out.
Yeah, I'll send you many, many emails of people who could use some help.
We'll talk. All right. So basically, after Akon, we collapse again.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And I don't think we have anything in July or August.
Nope. Done.
So basically, the next big con is Dragon Con.
Yep. Which I'm going back again. I have to go back. Now it's like the yearly pilgrimage of awesomeness. So instead of spreading myself thin and going to a bunch of tiny cons, I'm just saving up to go to Dragon Con. And even though this past year, okay, it's going to take me a while to get used to that because 2015 was just a couple days ago. This past year wasn't as fun as the first time. It was still a blast. And it was still great just to meet new people, hang out with friends, see new things, do new things. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it already. Kind of wish it was already here.
I don't have anything in September. I feel so bad. My con schedule is so short this year, mostly because I can't plan anything until the house sells. When the house sells, I can actually do stuff because I'll have
money.
Which
makes sense.
Until then, I have no money.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense, though, so it's understandable. This is part of adulting and life things that we have to do. We have to prioritize. Okay.
Unexpected life thing.
Yeah.
It really was. All right. So then I actually have something in October. That's Texas Renaissance Festival. That's my annual personal vacation. I don't do press. I don't do any sort of coverage. I don't go as part of any organization. I go for me. And I have a blast camping. I went last year by myself, still had a blast. Almost cried at the fireworks. Because I was like, I've come home. These are my peeps. I'm where I need to be. This was a fan-freaking-tastic vacation. I desperately needed this. Hell yes. It was great. I spun fire. Lit my pants. Came back in one piece. You know, tested out a new costume. And it was great. So I will be, of course, returning as I try and do every year. And, you know, I will be a better poi spinner.
Amber's
now I have place. I was with my peeps, man. I am a Rennie. I have been a Rennie
you really
since
are.
I was 16.
You really are.
Yeah, I pro camp now, man. Not glamping. I still camp.
Glamping?
You've never heard of the term glamping?
I'm going to guess it's a mixture of the word glamour and camping.
It's when you get the really decked out RV.
Oh, that's me.
With electricity and running water and
Beep.
A fully electric kitchen.
Beep.
Toilets. Yeah, that is glamping. That's not roughing it in any sense of the word. So when you get to that level, it's called glamping.
Okay, that kind of makes sense. I would totally be 100% for that. That's probably about as roughing it as I'm willing to go to. If it's not that, I want a hotel room. This girl don't camp.
The closest hotel is about 40 minutes away, and the king is actually looking at renting out RVs and generators.
Wow. Well, there you go.
I won't be renting them out, obviously, because I'm going to sit there with my propane stove and have fantastic camping pancakes, man.
Nice.
I make good camp food, and I know how to use a propane stove. And I have all of my equipment is in great condition. I take care of it. And I have a very easy time camping.
Well, good. I'm glad that you enjoy it. I would not do that. I need the super RV.
I would only say to people, make sure you keep a little pocket roll of toilet paper whenever you visit the porta potties.
Yeah, that seems like that should be obvious, but you know.
I've only seen them run out twice in the whole time I have been going. But twice is all it takes.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is, but I will be returning. And I always try and return the same weekend every year as well. So I'm still shooting for 1001 Dreams.
Okay.
It has the best weather. Hands down, it has the best weather of any of the weekends. Which is a consideration you have to have whenever you're planning cosplay for outdoors. Because if you ever go to an outdoor con, a primarily outdoor con, those of you who have been to Dragon Con in Atlanta in the summer know how it feels when it's just too hot to be wearing the cosplay that you brought. I have done that at TRF. I have also done it where it was too cold to be wearing the cosplay that I had brought. And it's unpleasant. That's why I bring two different costumes with multiple layers.
It helps. It helps.
It does. And then I actually don't have anything for the rest of the year because unfortunately I dropped ANT.
Yeah, I've got nothing else either. It is pretty much dead at that point. So
say if I get money, I'm looking at Colossal Con in Houston in November. But it's also going to depend on how much time I still have off left at the end of the year.
Right. That's the big if there too.
Yeah, because ACON and ALCON are both going to burn a huge chunk of what I have. You only accumulate it so fast. So we shall see. But that's pretty much my 2016 convention plans.
Yay. Yeah, that's it for me too. And it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but I know it will be for us because we'll be both really busy. It'll be a lot of content. It'll be a lot of our time and a lot of our energy.
Yes.
Oh, a lot of sleepless nights.
Or at least not as sleepy nights.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, 2016 cosplay plans.
Yeah. Well,
I know you plan yours way out in advance.
I have to.
All right, what you got on your plate?
Okay, so the big thing I'm doing this year is I'm trimming down on the number of costumes I'm making for myself, doing a couple more commissions so I don't get bored, because I get bored really easily between costumes if I don't have multiple things to work on. But I'm also working on refining my costumes so that they look more polished. They look a little bit cleaner, which is why I've decided to redo this entirely, because I was really unhappy with it not coming out clean. It also means I'm picked up a lot of embroidery work, which means it'll take me probably all year to finish it. So right now, as it stands, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right now I'm sitting at 5 costumes that should be done by the end of the year or with various points throughout the year. The big one that I'm going to be starting on fairly soon is my Game of Thrones dress. Cersei from season 2, it's her bluebird dress. And it's a really simple construction, simple design. It's got an ass ton of embroidery on it. There's no other way to say it. And it's really unique embroidery. It's not something you can shove it into a machine, program it, and have it done. This is all hand beaded, hand embroidered. The way the birds actually are coming off of her dress requires you to use some wire and some weird little tools. I've actually found the designer who does the embroidery on Game of Thrones, and she has a step-by-step tutorial on how she makes them. So it's like, oh, cool, great. It also means I have to do a lot more work to get it done. And I didn't realize how big the birds were because I thought there was maybe like 1 or 2 on the dress. No, there's like 5 all over the place, and there's more beads than I had anticipated. So it's going to take me all year to get that sucker done. It'll be pretty. It'll be really pretty when it's all said and done. I'll cry in a corner. And I'll be depressed as all hell. Okay. The second costume is the one that I've been working on. It's Kane Sena from Final Fantasy XIV. She's my favorite NPC in the entire game. I adore her to bits and pieces. And she follows my costume philosophy, which is deceivingly simple. Because it looks like a really easy outfit. It is not. There's applique of velvet and all this ridiculousness going on. I'm trying to get this completed by PAX South. Fingers crossed and toes crossed as many places as possible that it'll still happen. I'm hoping it does. I'd like for it to be done. Mostly because last year it was kind of cold in San Antonio, so having a nice full velvet outfit would be very comfy to wear. I would be looking forward to that so much. It would be so great. Okay, and then the other one I've got, I'm flipping over to my computer because I actually have a list and I put folders with reference photos of everything so I know exactly what I'm looking at. I'm going to be remaking my Rydia costume. I wore her one last time for ACON this year, and I've sold her off. I wanted to remake her and do the Amano version of it, which means really big poofy hair and having a really ridiculously long cape. Haven't started on it yet. Got the pieces for her wig, and I'm actually taking apart my original wig, stuffing it into a new wig so it's going to be froed out like crazy. And then I just need to start looking on the fabric pieces for it. I'm not concerned about timetable on that. I'm hoping to get it done by ACON. If it is, great. If it's not, meh. That's the other thing I'm doing this year too, is not having hard deadlines. It's just getting them done at my own pace. Let myself enjoy the process of making it. Because I think that's something I've been missing for this past year, is just enjoying what I'm making. It's not this rush, 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 get it done, get it together, get it done. It's,
I actually like doing this. Like making the shoes yesterday, I was really having fun doing that. I don't get a chance to do that very often, so that was kind of nice. The other thing that I'm looking to make is another Pokemon Gaijinka. My group who did the aquatic ones for Dragon Con this year, we want to do another group. They were thinking about doing like just fire Pokemon, but I was like, I don't want to do fire Pokemon. I don't like fire Pokemon. Can I be Bulbasaur? So I think a bunch of us are just going to do random Gaijinka Pokemon from Cowslip, and it's just a matter of me figuring out which design I want to do because I like all of them. I have a problem. Really, what I need to do is the same thing that I did with my dress for Game of Thrones. It's put up all three of them and be like, okay, people, which one do you like the most? Because I like all of them and I can't decide. And I can't make all of them because it's just not going to happen. So pick one and go.
They need a Pokemon called Cowbell. Just so they can have a shirt that has a picture of the Pokemon and just says, needs more Cowbell.
Needs more Cowbell. So much more Cowbell.
Yes.
I like this plan. And then the last one that I'm thinking about working on, I'm kind of flip-flopping on this. A friend of mine is currently doing a very fancified version of Maleficent, Disney villain. Not the one from the movies. It's this really beautiful, like, Art Nouveau doll that she happened to find. It's really cool style. And she showed me a couple of images for the Evil Queen. And I was like, that's really pretty. I kind of want to do one of those glammed up versions of it. So it'll probably either be that one, or it will either be the, one of the Charlize Theron versions from Snow White and the Huntsman. Terrible movie, but she looks gorgeous in like everything that she's wearing in that film. And I really want to make one of those come to life. So it'll probably be that. The only other thing I'm working on is I'm in the process of remaking my overcoat for Queen Amidala. I have all my velvet. I've just started doing all the cones again from square one. I've bought 30 spools of elastic thread, and it's all decorated out on the side of my table. It's kind of funny looking. But yeah, that's pretty light-handed for me because usually I do like 10 new costumes a year just out of habit. But this is like so toned down. I don't know what to do. It's weird. Commissions! Lots of commissions! Ah, there you go. There's my not-so-busy schedule. It's the sign of aging. It means I'm growing up and as an adult, and I want to rewear some of my older costumes, and I just want to take my time and have fun with it. Enjoy the process, right? That's what it should be about.
I don't have very many new things planned. Mostly because my budget is still up in the air at the moment. I know that I want to make Order of the Lotus Irelia, and I want to do her for Alcon. I'm going to bring Arwen back for Alcon as well, because I haven't worn her in a little bit. And I'll choose some third costume to wear. I still need to mend Pyrrha from when I wore her at Akon when I busted the skirt. Oops. Yeah. Still need to put a zipper. Zippers really help in skirts, kids.
And yeah, they do. They help out a ton.
And I need to make, this is going to be the year of Pyrrha, because I'm going to make her armor version. Still need to do that. I need to redo some of the pieces that I've already done, actually, because I'm not happy with them. But, spoilers, there's probably going to be another version of Pyrrha coming up in Ruby before end of this volume, so I'm probably going to bring that too.
Why am I not surprised? You're obsessed with her.
I love Pyrrha, because Pyrrha is me. No, and I wanted to do a ball gown version of Kirara from Inuyasha. Whether or not I'll have her for Akon, I don't know. It's really all going to depend. I already have the fabric. It's just a matter of me pulling everything together and getting a pattern or a design that I like. And also me getting to a stable weight. One that is preferably lighter than I am now. Because at the moment, it's enough that I don't fit into any of my old cosplay. Because I am bigger than I was, and that's very disappointing. So I have to work really hard sometimes, since especially I have a desk job that involves a lot of sitting, that I have to work really hard to get back down to that target weight and then maintain it. Gets harder when you get older, kids. But those are pretty much the only new cosplays I have on tap at the moment. I have a wish list. And Palutena from Smash Brothers is on the top of that wish list. I really want to do that costume.
But join me! Join me in the Smash Brothers!
Budget is one, time is another. Because that costume is insane if I did it right. It would involve a lot of embroidery, a lot of prop work, a lot of sewing, and a lot of really creative engineering, because I know how I want to make the staff, and I think I can make the ball float. But it's going to take some mechanics. And I still have to figure out how to make the shield. So that there are things involved, but it's top on my wish list. So if my house sells, which is more incentive for my house to sell, then I can make awesome cosplay even more. And I saw that Bill Duran put out a tutorial on how to make a small vacuform machine with nothing but mundane parts from a hardware store. And I looked at that and went, you know what? I want a mini vacuform machine for my apartment. I can't have a full-size one because there's just no room. But I can make a miniature one that'll work with my current vacuum that I use around the house. And so I want to do that. That's one of the things that's on my plate this year, along with learning soldering now that I have a soldering gun. So I think this is more going to be a year for me of technique than it will actually be making new costumes. I'll be learning things rather than necessarily making whole new things. Because I want to fit back into some of my old cosplay. I still want to bring out some of the older ones. I haven't worn Umi in a while. I haven't worn Lena in a while. I can't wear Deedlit just because I engineered that costume completely wrong. And I would love to be able to redo it at some point. And I have a couple of other costumes that I would enjoy being able to wear again. I haven't worn Rava since the one time we wore it at Akon.
Yeah, that one's been dead in the water. We need to bring those out again.
I have to fit into it first.
That would help too.
Yes. Yes, I need to start giving up more League of Legends and going to the gym more. Because I already go 4 days a week, but I go over my lunch hour at work and then I spend the rest of my day sitting. So I need to actually probably go to the gym twice a day and just go when I get home instead of playing League.
Sacrifice. There is sacrifice.
I know. I got to do it for my cosplay, man. At least until I get back down to my target weight.
I know that feeling all too well, mostly because I haven't been able to completely finish Fallout 4, which is killing me to no end. I want to finish it, but I can't because cosplay. I think my guild members are wondering where the heck I am. I'm 14. I'm like, I'm working on my costume. Leave me alone.
Well, because it's either that or I'm going to have to remake every single one of my old cosplays.
Yeah, and that's just
a size bigger.
It's like budget conscious here. Let's look at this.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with body shaming. I am not ashamed of being, you know, slightly larger than I was because I still am very healthy. I just had a physical, actually, within the last couple of weeks. And I'm completely healthy. So there's nothing wrong with being slightly larger. For budget reasons, so that I don't have to buy a whole bunch more fabric and redo everything I've already done, I'd rather be able to slim myself back down and fit back into what I already have. Plus, redoing 8 costumes would be a significant amount of work. And a significant amount of fabric.
Mm-hmm. A ridiculous amount of fabric.
Yeah. And at the moment, I can't justify it in the budget. I really can't. So I have most of the fabric I already need for what I have planned for this year. I've already purchased it. I had done it during sales last year. The only thing I need are the 2 pieces of fabric for Aurelia, for her tunic top and for her pants. That's it.
There you go.
I have everything else. Yeah, I've tried to really hold back this year on my stuff. I'm going to be doing a little bit less focus on solely doing cosplay because I'd also like to do quilting. Because there are some techniques in quilting, especially with embroidery and applique, that I think will apply to cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be helpful for me to learn that. And I want to start doing more engineering with my props to be able to make them fold, make them make noise. You know, everybody can make them light up at this point, but I want to start doing more engineering kind of things.
I'm still not lighting anything up.
Not literally on fire.
No, not on fire. I just mean like the electronics. I'm still avoiding that like the plague. I can't.
Now that they came out with the Raspberry Pi Zero, I think it opens up a ton more possibilities for cosplay. I really do. That is a tiny little processor that is capable of so much for $5.
Cool.
I'm still waiting when on January 18th, Micro Center is supposed to get their shipment in.
Oh, okay.
Of their Raspi Zeros. And I'm probably going to go down and get myself one. It's probably easier to use an Arduino at this point because it's more documented, but it's also a lot bigger. I mean, if you want to put it in a slim prop like a lightsaber, you need something that is fairly slim. Hey, come on now. Everybody is making the Jedi and the Sith costumes now.
God, they're all... I'm so tired of it. I'm a Star Wars fan, and I'm just sick of seeing... My feed needs to stop with the Star Wars. Like, I can't even get on Tumblr. I'm so...
We're going to cover this in the after session.
I know we are, but I'm so sick of it. Oh, my God. Like, the Star Wars fan is tired of seeing it. Can we just chill? Chill your tits, people. Just calm. I've been saying that about Disney for like the last 2 months with all their marketing, so there you go.
That particular phrase has some visuals associated.
Yes, it does. Never mind. Enjoy.
Never mind.
Happy New Year.
Anyways, those are our plans for 2016 cosplay. If you guys would like to share your convention and cosplay plans, please share it with us on social media, and we will be happy to have a conversation with our fans. Because we like to involve you guys as much as we can in what we're talking about. So we always value feedback.
It's always cool to see you guys. Sorry, because I was starting to cough here. It's always great to see everybody's work in progress. Just anytime you update us on little things you've been doing, it's always just fun to see what everybody's creating. Or apparently people have been inspired to create things because of CosPod. So it's like, so cool. We like being involved.
And we learn from you guys too. I mean, we have had people send us in new techniques that we didn't know about. I just learned, actually, I want to say it was last week. It was either last week or the week before, about automotive vinyl. That you can use it to more or less chrome things. Because it comes out about that shiny.
Yeah, you can.
And I looked at that and went, where have you been all my life? Why did I not know about this stuff, man? I could have been using this for my sword blades since like 3 years ago.
Shiny and chrome.
I know, man. It would have made my life so much easier. But now that I know about it, now I know that I can look for it and use it. So good stuff there. All right. Cosplay competition wrap up. I'm not sure how much of this you covered last episode.
I covered a lot, but I kind of wanted to bring you into it and just to kind of get your opinions about the article. I think that we kind of share some of the same opinions, but we've also have experienced different aspects of the cosplay competition. Some of the things that I have done haven't been the things that you've done and vice versa. So I was curious to hear what your thoughts were, but then we can just kind of go from there.
Competition is a really fickle thing. And I actually ended up posting this in one of the Facebook groups. And I was like, okay, so should we standardize cosplay competitions? Not to the sense that all of them would be the same, but that they would all be judged by, say, the same criteria. They would all have the same scoring system. Because if you've competed, everybody does it differently.
Yep.
They score it differently. They have different categories. They have different criteria. They have different judges. I know that they're all going to have different prizes, and that's just the way it's going to be since there are different suppliers. But it does make it a little difficult as a competitor because you have to research the competition individually that you are about to enter. It's not something where you can just say, it's just like this other one, because they're not the same. I don't think I've ever met two cosplay competitions that are alike.
Doesn't exist.
Right. And the other thing that really differentiates competitions, I've noticed, is prejudging, whether it's there or whether it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some people actually get upset when there's not prejudging. And some people get incredibly anxious when there is. And I know it has to do with you basically getting face-to-face time being judged. And if you're proud and confident of your craftsmanship, then yeah, you're going to want that. But if you're anxious and this is only your first or second time, then you're probably going to be a little bit more afraid of what they have to say. And I think that one of the things I wanted to mention about the competition that I don't think either one of the articles, the one by Kamui or the one by Vicious Cosplay, mentions, is that judges have it really hard. And they are human beings. And 9 times out of 10, they are doing their absolute best to judge fairly. They're not trying to play favorites. They're not trying to promote one particular show, theme, whatever, over another just because they like it more. They're trying to be fair. And in prejudging, it can be especially difficult when you see a great costume from 10 feet away. And then up close, you see all of the cover-ups. And it's just like, oh, I want this so much to give a prize to this person, but I can't because of what I see up close. Whereas you wouldn't have seen that on stage. Or if you see, you know, really solid craftsmanship up close and you're like, well, I wouldn't have seen that on stage. And it changes how you give the awards, how you award the different places to the cosplayers. So I just wanted to mention that from a judge's point of view, just to consider that they have a difficult job too. It's not just on the competitors.
Awkward pausing. I guess to kind of add on, to kind of add on to that. Hey, I'm just helpful. That's what I do. to kind of add on to that, because each contest has their own set of rules, it may be that the judges have to conform their point of view to those convention rules. So something that may have won at A convention may not have won at B convention because this is A convention's rules, not B convention's rules. So you got to keep that in mind too. So the people who win the awards, they're chosen because they fit the criteria the best. And it may just be that they go to another convention and they don't win anything at all. I think that's the problem with us not having a standardized system, is that everything is up in the air. But it also means everything's up in the air, so creativity can kind of blossom and explode because of it.
I know that some conventions are actually, they're not blocking people from winning awards, but they're excluding them from certain categories like grand prize overall because they've won so many.
Mm-hmm.
Some conventions do, some don't. And I know that if they're not excluded, it tends to lead to a bit of resentment sometimes in the community because the same people win every time. And it can be a little bit discouraging, which I can understand that. But at the same time, if the point of the cosplay competition is to reward craftsmanship and talent, well, if those people have craftsmanship and talent and they meet the criteria, there really isn't much else that you can do with it.
Right.
Because you're trying to judge as best as you can objectively, not subjectively. You're trying to be objective and say, you know, linearly, these people are demonstrating a greater range and skill in technique than these other people. And that's really hard when you don't have a standardized system. Of course, we know all about this as we're trying to run our own cosplay contest. And we're trying to have a very standard, simple scoring system so that the judges don't have to agonize over comparing what are effectively apples to oranges, really.
Mm-hmm.
And to hand out prizes. We're trying to make it as objective as possible by just saying, you know, give these people X number of points on X criteria. And that's really the best that you can expect from any judge. And yeah, I know there's controversy about, you know, what judges are qualified to do the judging. What do they have talent in? How many awards have they won?
Assuming that they're cosplayers at all, because you go to comic book conventions, most of the time it's just celebrities that they brought in for autograph signing. So they may not even be cosplayers who have a single clue on what costuming is about.
I think that would be the one thing that I would standardize if I could about all cosplay contests, is that judges have to be cosplayers.
Or have some form of a costuming background.
They don't necessarily have to have won anything.
Yeah.
Because there are very talented cosplayers who just don't see anything in competition. They don't care. They do it for the cosplay, not for the award that hangs on the wall. So I wouldn't mandate that they had to have won anything, but I do want them to be cosplayers because it takes a certain knowledge that only experience can bring to understand what we go through as cosplayers to make these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fashion designer, okay, that's fine. You know, theater costume designer, okay. Those sorts of things, they're okay for judging. Or if you're something that is related, like a professional makeup artist. Okay, I can see that to an extent, but then if you're judging costumes that don't use makeup at all, that makes it a lot harder.
It does, but I can, in the defense of the makeup artist, a number of them, as they're going through school and teaching, are actually also having to take costume design courses. So that kind of becomes part of the whole package, is they do makeup and costume. They just focus more on the makeup.
Sure. So some related occupations, yeah, I could see that. But no offense, please, no offense is meant by this. I'm not sure I want a voice actor judging my cosplay, unless
right.
they are a cosplayer. They may do a fantastic job judging other voice actors, and that's fine. That's perfectly great. I have much admiration and respect for what they do. I don't want them judging my cosplay. That's just my own opinion.
Sending this up here because Allie posted a question. I thought there was already a system that was just not used everywhere. I don't know if Costume Con maybe made a system that's kind of unofficially official, but I don't really know.
It would basically only be if they had developed a system that other conventions decided to use. But unfortunately, as there isn't a cosplay governing body, or what they might call a regulatory body, you can't really regulate the community as a whole. And this has been a discussion, gosh, ever since cosplay got popular about a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
That there is no overarching, here are the rules of cosplay competition, especially since cosplay is worldwide. It would almost end up being like the Olympics, where you have the IOC, International Olympic Committee, that basically runs things. And I'm not sure cosplay would take well to that.
God, could you imagine if WCS was the governing body? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I can actually. It's not a pretty picture.
No, I don't want to be involved in that picture. I would want to be in the exact opposite direction of that photo.
Yeah, I think at this point that basically it's just going to stay the status quo, that as cosplayers, we're just going to have to research individual competitions if we want to do them. However, at the same time, I think that we're kind of passing on the torch to a new generation of cosplay, where not as many people care about the competition. I don't see as many of the younger gen entering the competitions. It's a lot of our generation that's still doing them. And as far as the younger kids go, a few of them enter, but most of them seem more concerned about the learning process and being creative. Instead of being judged by somebody, they just want to have really awesome pictures. And I respect that. Maybe it's the way that the hobby is going to go, where we just don't have as much emphasis on competition. Either that or we just need cooler prizes.
And they're steadily getting better about that. Depends on where you go, because sometimes they actually hand out cash. Yay! But you know.
True, but at the same time, if you think about it, the current trend in cosplay is that we're getting to movie-level costumes. When you see the winners of these competitions, especially things like BlizzCon, you could easily see these things in movies, and that makes it really hard for the uninitiated to compete, for one, just because the entire skill level of the whole group is just exponentially skyrocketing. But it makes it to where if you want people to give that kind of effort, you have to similarly reward that kind of effort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting a lot harder to do since there is a bit of pushback on the cosplay community in terms of how much budget do you get from the convention. Because as a convention, as a staff, you have to look at it and go, okay, how many dollars does cosplay bring us? How many people walk through that door because we had X cosplayer as a guest or because we had X cosplay event? You kind of have to think about it in real world terms monetarily. And that starts getting really hard. Cosplay isn't as big of a draw in terms of guests anymore, I don't think. Unless you had somebody like Vulpin or Punished Props. More of the more famous names. But we're kind of starting to run out of really famous names to bring in.
And it's a weird dichotomy because as a cosplaying guest, you're expected to do more than just be there and judge contests, possibly sign autographs. You have to sell your own merchandise. You have to host panels. You have to do all these different things just to kind of get your money back for making that trek out there.
And that's the thing, is that now cosplayers are having to sell merch.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to do that before, but now you're almost expected to sell prints, to sell posters, to sell things like accessories. That's astonishing when you think about it.
I could not do that. I still feel weird.
I think about it like, I'll be the first to admit it, I'm not model material. This is not a model's face. People are not going to want to look at this. So there's no way I can sell prints and posters. So that's not something I could do. I can't sell merch because I don't look like that. I'm not something people want to see up on their wall. But I am something they want to see in their tutorials to teach them how to do it. So there's the other side of the coin. You know, the whole face for radio thing. But I do a fan-freaking-tastic radio show.
Yes, you do.
So I think that's kind of my take, is that we're moving away from competition as a whole community. But those who are really enthused about competition are just going to keep going, and they're going to keep demanding more and more in terms of reciprocity mm-hmm. for their efforts, which is going to make our lives harder.
Yeah. I will have to say this. I mean, I do appreciate the fact that things are moving forward, and I'm glad that conventions are understanding and seeing that we want more than dealer's room leftovers. We put X number of hundreds of hours into our outfit. We want more than a beach towel. Please give us more than a beach towel. And in return, they've seen more people enter contests and sit through contests. And I know she's laughing at me because I got one before for winning Best Masters.
Uh-huh.
A convention that I will not name, A-Fest.
I recognize the reference.
I will say it as many times as possible. I got an etchy beach towel for winning Best Masters. Why? But I mean, I'm glad to see that contests are recognizing that we're putting so much more effort into our work that we expect just as much back for whatever our prizes are. But you're right. At the same time, it's mostly our generation still entering contests. I don't see as many of the youngins coming in. That sounded so old-fashioned of me. There's not many young people joining in the contest aspect. If they are, maybe it's in the hallway, but they seem to be more interested in the craft itself and just hanging out with their friends, presenting it on the floor, not so much backstage, on the stage, getting their photos taken that way.
The other thing I see in the article, I'm looking at Vicious Cosplay's article.
Oh, okay.
Response to community. And specifically, the question is, if these competitions are so important to the skill level of a cosplayer, why the F is the audience empty at awards ceremony?
Yeah.
There are two answers to that. And I would almost guarantee that these are the answers at every single one. One is the length of the contest. People have short attention spans. They have other things they want to be doing because it's a convention. Things are running up on top of each other. When you have pre-seating, and then you have the contest, and then you have a halftime show, and then you have the award show, people have been sitting there generally for about 2 hours by that point. You're running real close to the end of people's attention spans. There's a reason why movies are generally not much longer than 2 hours now. It's because people just don't sit through them. They have other things they want to be doing. They get bored. And I'll be frank, cosplay contests are not the most entertaining things in the world.
They're really not, which is so depressing.
it's effectively a fashion show. It really is. People are strutting across a stage wearing a costume. That is a fashion show. And if that's not your cup of tea, then you're going to get bored really quickly. And if you don't have a really dynamic halftime show entertainer, which honestly, most conventions don't. They really don't.
It really feels like for most conventions, they kind of just slap and dash, throw it together. And which is so flippin' annoying because you end up sitting there for half an hour, 45 minutes, just waiting and waiting and waiting. It feels longer than that, though. I think that's the depressing thing, is that it feels like an hour has just been sitting there and it's really only been half an hour.
And if you're not entertained by that, you'll get up and leave.
Exactly.
Because you've already been sitting by that point bored. And or, you know, you have other things going on at the same time that are competing for your attention that you lose butts in seats. I feel bad. That's what happened at A&T. The halftime show did not go as planned. People were not entertained and they had a great deal of loss in the audience. And that's, you know, time is simply one of those things. But the other reason why people leave is scheduling. A lot of people have cosplay contests late on a Friday, Saturday night that butts up right against the dance. And of course, what do people want to do before a dance? They want to shower. They want to eat dinner. They want to change into their rave gear. They don't want to be sitting in a cosplay contest watching and then have to shoot back up to their room and only have a half hour between that and the dance. So, of course, they're going to go out. They're going to eat dinner with friends. They're going to sit there and clean themselves up, put on some clothes, and then they're going to go to the dance. They're not going to sit for the award show. The award show isn't entertaining. Especially if you combine that with time. If they've been sitting there for, you know, some contests are almost running 3 hours at this point.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, now you have them announcing the awards, and with the internet, people know that they can immediately see on Twitter who the winners were. Or if you have patience, you can wait until the next morning, 8 hours later, and it will be posted on the internet and listen.
Yeah, internet.
It'll already be there. So it's just like, okay, well, I don't have to sit here and watch them award it live. I'll just find out what they did tomorrow morning and I'll spend my time doing other things tonight. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. The only way that at that point you could keep butts in seats that weren't the people who were already going to stay around and support would be to have some sort of payoff, a raffle, some sort of prize, some sort of really entertaining thing for the audience, a special guest that they all want to see. Unless you have something like that, they're not going to stick around.
No, definitely not.
Not everybody who watches the contest is a cosplayer. The people whose butts stay in seats the whole time, they're cosplayers. Or they are friends of a cosplayer who's competing. They have a direct interest. Anybody else?
They don't care. Probably along those lines, one of the worst experiences for a cosplay contest that I've ever been in was at Fanime 2013 when they started the show with a band. Like, it wasn't even the cosplay contest. They were already running almost an hour late. They were having a ton of technical issues. And they spent 30 minutes on this garage band that was local to the area. And I was amazed that we were still sitting in our seats because at that point, half the auditorium had filled out. People who had been spending 5 hours waiting to get in to see the cosplay contest, because it's usually a really big draw, they already left within 30 minutes before the show started because of a stupid garage band. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that and torture people this way? You got to find some way or some event or something to keep people's interest. And I think with what we've done with AllCon, one, we have a scoring system that makes judging way faster, so much faster. So for one thing, we don't have to worry about people leaving their seats too quickly because really it's only a 10-15 minute wait. Woohoo! But we also try to find something that was engaging to people. And the fact that we chose some cosplay music videos that was still relevant to the contest and was still interesting for people to see.
They're entertaining.
Yeah, they made people laugh. They were smiling. They were chuckling along. So that was really cool to see, too. So there's got to be a good balance, and you just got to find that balance, whatever it may be.
And even then, you're still not going to keep 100%
no.
of butts and seats. You're going to have attrition. That's unfortunate, but it's factual.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to plan for that, and you try and keep the attrition rate as low as possible, and you keep everyone entertained as best as you can, and you go on with it. So yep. That's it. I mean, at this point, I would still love to compete. I mean, even if I competed in something like Palutena. But at the same time, again, the level of skill is so great, and I am a hobbyist that doesn't necessarily have the time or money that other people do, that it's not worth it to me to go through that kind of stress and not get a payoff for what I put into my costume. So I'm just going to do what others have done and just do photo shoots on the side.
Yeah. And why not?
And it's only for a portfolio. It's not for anything professional to sell prints or anything. It's just more for my own, hey, look, here's what I have accomplished kind of thing.
Here is my thing of awesome. Come see it.
Here's an awesome pic of my awesome.
There you go. No, that's all I need to know. An awesome pic of my awesome. I like that.
Yes. Awesome pic of my awesomeness. There you go. So that's pretty much the only thing that I would have to add about competition in general.
Awesome.
I've seen every side of it at this point.
Yeah, between the two of us, we've probably have seen 30-plus competitions, from judging to working staff to being in them to running press at them. I mean, we've seen it all. We've seen and experienced every aspect of it.
Yep.
We know all.
We are not quite Google.
We're getting pretty close, at least for cosplay stuff.
Yes. All right. Anything else for this episode?
Nope. I'm good. I want to rant about Star Wars.
Right. We will bring a close to this episode 106 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Of course, if you'd like to join in the conversation about your 2016 plans, contact us at any of our social media you see here on the screen. And of course, if you'd like to send us an email, you can email us at podcast@cospod.org, same as it's always been. You can also send PayPal donations if you wish to that address, and we will send it towards our website costs. We will see you guys in episode 107. Happy New Year to everyone, and happy start to your cosplay season. Bye, everybody.
Peace out, everybody.